Tappers, let's get it. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Tap for September 25th. Hope you all are doing well. We've made it through another week. We have more college football on the radar this weekend, which is exciting. The SEC is back. The Pac-12, Mountain West, and I believe the MAC have all announced that they're going to be back in some capacity. There have been announcements that there will be no regulations for bowl games. None of it matters. I love it. This is as chaotic of a college football season as I could have ever imagined, and it's going to be really fun to gamble on this stuff later in the year as we continue on. And as you remember from last week, we started the segment, Should I Bet on My Team? And we will do that again, talking about Packers and Saints. We will bring the Badgers back into it. Maybe we'll do a little Brewers today too. Why not? Should I bet on the Brewers? And we'll go forward there. So we'll talk about all of that. I'm excited to do Should I Bet on My Team? I might do a little Brewers at the end. I may not. Not necessarily on a tight schedule, but not on a lengthy schedule. I was supposed to be doing Tapping a Keg tonight, actually, and unfortunately, our guy Murph had an emergency come up. It's all good. Nothing to worry about. But we weren't able to tape tonight. So that's unfortunate. I obviously love Tapping a Keg. I love doing it with whether it be Mitch, whether it be Murph, be the two of them. It's one of my favorite hours of the week. So I'm apologizing to y'all that we can't get that out. But we Should I Bet on My Team, I think, is a really fun segment that we started last week. And we're going to continue on. So for those that are unfamiliar with it and how it works, basically what I do is I break down the spread, I break down the over and the under. I also break down a few props that I've targeted and that I like. Not all the props are out yet. Bovada usually doesn't bring out the quarterback, running back, wide receiver props until I think Saturday. I'm not really sure. I don't really track that stuff because I'm not really a big prop guy, but I know that there are people who do like the props. The Packers and Saints were a classic line where you probably should have grabbed it on Monday or Sunday night. What I should have done, because I'm a big dumbass and I don't do this often enough, is I should have grabbed the initial opening line, which was 4.5. The Packers somehow were a 4.5-point favorite to start this week. That line has come all the way down to 3 as where we stand on Thursday night doing this podcast. So I should have grabbed that line. 100% should have. I had a really good week last week. I've not had a good week this week. But I should have at least grabbed it on Monday because I went to the bank and I deposited, which was good. And we love to see that. We love to have a good start to the football season. But at the same time, I could have easily, you know, put $3 or $4 aside or whatever and said, all right, let's just take this first line and then we'll go grab the 3 later on in the week, or we'll grab the money line later in the week. We'll be all comfortable there, whatever the you know, high number is for me. And everybody's units are different, so I'm not going to unit shame anyone. I have a certain system that I like and that I've been using. It's been working well for me, as I just mentioned. So I would have grabbed that at a high number for my, where I put that in my high categories of bets for the rest of the week. But unfortunately, I didn't do that. Why? Because, again, your boy can be a little bit of a dumbass gambler at times. It happens. We all are. We all get into that. Like today, I completely forgot to start working on my card. I just was like, I got done with work and I was like, all right, I got to get a workout in. And I just completely, realized on the bike, I was like, oh my God, like I haven't done any of this. So that was interesting and led to kind of a subpar night. And it's been a subpar week. It's really not been a solid week. So maybe you shouldn't be taking my advice. But that said, looking at the Packer line at 3, I still think there is some value there. I don't think you want it to get any lower than 3. Maybe there's going to be some money coming in on the Saints. I wouldn't be surprised just based on how much public money came in early on the Packers. We'll see where that line goes by Sunday night. I wouldn't be surprised if it's down to 2.5. I personally don't like to wait for lines. Like, I know some people do. I used to be kind of like that, where I'd only look at like the Sunday afternoon games, and then I'd wait to put in my night bets. Don't do that. Like, just create your card in full. Like, that to me is the best way to operate. That is the way to, you know, success, in my opinion, is really going through the entire slate and understanding how this all fits, and what are your top plays and what are plays that you can live without, that you might like, but at the end of the day you're kind of unsure about, or you're unwavering. That to me is where you kind of succeed, and you'll thrive as a gambler, in my humble opinion. So yes, I would lay the 3. I would definitely, if you wanted to grab the hook to go 3.5 and bump it up to like -120 versus like -110, I don't hate that idea. That would just be if you're just basically banking in insurance. If the Packers were to lose by a field goal, you actually win your bet versus pushing your bet. Something I could have done with the Nuggets tonight, but I didn't. And I pushed, which sucks. I hate pushing. It's almost worse than losing. So I would bet definitely on the Packers. I think that's a good bet. I think the money line is a worthwhile investment. I realize they've had some struggles in New Orleans. I realize New Orleans can come off pissed. But you got to remember, they're coming in on a short week. They're flying in from Vegas. Who knows, there's some weird body clock stuff with that in terms of the recovery process. I like the Packers a lot in this game. I think there is no reason to not feel confident in Green Bay that they can win this in the Dome. And if the fans were there, would my opinion be different? It's a great question, because I think it would. I don't think I would be betting it, honestly. Like, I think if it was a normal year and there were fans in the crowd, I think I would stay away and I would just grab the over. Because maybe I could talk myself into it if, like, say it got up to, like, I don't know, 5.5, right? Or something dumb, something really kind of stupid. And I was like, all right, well, that's just too many points. And then it gets to that point. But honestly, I would not feel comfortable taking the Packers with the spread if there were an actual raucous Superdome. As for the over-under is 53. That is very high for an NFL game. I might be the highest over-under total for the week. Cowboys, Seahawks might actually beat it, which is the game prior. We have a really good slate of football, by the way. Cowboys, Seahawks at 3:30, and then you have the Packers and Saints, and then you have Ravens, Chiefs the next night, which is incredible. That is an incredible Monday night game. Yes, the Cowboys and Seahawks are up to 57. Wow. The Cardinals and the Lions are at 55.5. Holy shit. These are some big-ass spreads. 55 also for Chiefs-Ravens. Yeah, these are some bass, big-ass spreads. Not to be confused with WAP, right? Okay, that was really lame, but we're going to move on. So anyways, would I take the over? I you got to take the over there. You just, like, this is the kind of game that just feels like an over. 57 for Cowboys-Seahawks. We'll talk about that later. But that, to me, is ridiculous. But that there's a fine line between ridiculousness and things that make sense. And I think 53 is a comfortable number. Where I start getting uneasy is 54. 53 is nice. It's a little bit of a football number. I feel pretty good about the Packers and Saints getting to 53 points. I think that's possible. I think the Saints might have got there the last two games they've played, right around that, right? Because it was 34-24, I think, the first two games for both. Let me check. Let me do that math. But yeah, 58. It was 58 for both, or 57. So they've went over twice. I believe the Packers also have went easily over. So maybe that over bet is a little bit better than the spread at this point, with the spread being all the way down to 3. I think maybe the over is where you go if you're looking to parlay it with something else that you really like. I would probably lean more towards the over than I would the Packers +3. But we'll see. Maybe I'll differ on that. I like both a lot, though. I think both are worthwhile bets. Would I parlay the two? That's old degenerate me would do that. Before I really understood everything, I would say, yeah, absolutely, go ahead. But now, Probably not. I think there would be better opportunities to parlay than that would be. I'd also throw the Packers in a tease. If you threw the Packers in a 7-point tease and got them down to get them up to a 10-point dog, it's pretty good. Do you really think the Saints are winning by 11 points in this game? I don't think so. I think 10 is probably their max. I'd be really surprised if the Packers got the doors blown off. A couple of props that I like. Packers total points, 24.5. If we're working on the theory that the Packers and Saints are going over, then I think 24.5 is an excellent bet. It's at minus 115, so a little bit of juice, but not a lot. So I think that's a really good one for you all to take. Like, that's a prop I think is an easy prop. I don't know if you'll have to sweat it out too much. I think that's a good one to go with. The other one I like is a little more sweatier just based on their first quarter performances. And this is maybe an ode to my guy, Nolan, who loves the first quarter bets more than I love my fiance's baked goods. But it is the Packers over 3.5 points in the first quarter. That's even money right now. So all you need is a touchdown. You get a touchdown, you win that bet. That's all you need in a game where you expect there to be points. So, like, put it 2 and 2 together. It's almost like you're stacking the over, right? You're like, all right, I think they're going to score more than 3.5 points in the first quarter. I think they're going to score more than 24 points. And I also think the game's going to go over. Now, when you stack like this, it can go extremely wrong because you could miss out on all three. You could miss out on the first one and be like, all right, whatever, first quarter. And then you realize that no one's scoring. You're like, what the fuck? Or the Packers get 24 points, right? They don't offer you hooks on those props. So if the Packers only score 24, you're fucked. And you could still hit the over. I mean, it could still be like a 34-24 Saints win. And then, but you don't get that last bet. And you at least get the over. You salvage the over. But you could have had multiple opportunities. So that's where stacking can get you into trouble. I know it well. I had a couple triple bets tonight. And I haven't triple bet, and I was 0-3 and 1-1 in the other, and I haven't triple bet in a long time. I've avoided triple betting as much as I can, where I have three ways on a single game. Guys, that would be my biggest advice of the weekend. Just avoid triple bets at all costs. Like, just if you think a team is going to cover and the over is going to hit, take that, but don't. And then literally, I've just advised that the Packers, if you're going to take the money line, I would not take the over-under, or I would not take the spread. Like, pick two out of the three. Now, am I going to have the resilient, you know, am I going to listen to what I'm telling myself? Probably not. Just like I told myself not to bet on Miami, and then Miami was one of my bigger bets of the college football slate, and they were great. And I just studied, and I was like, all right, Miami, this does make sense. Even though I don't know if I can trust Miami this week. And we can get into more of this advice. Let's stick with the NFL before we get into the other sports about advice from a somewhat degenerate gambler. I know that there have been people who are saying take the Giants this week. A lot of Giants, Panthers. So I think it's 2-2. I think, first of all, take the Panthers. 6.5 against the Chargers. Justin Herbert is getting 6.5. You're telling me Justin Herbert is worth 6.5? That's a massive overreaction to how they played against the Chiefs. Also, letdown factor there too. I know the Panthers aren't that good, but that feels wrong to me. Also, be aware that the fact that 13 out of 15 favorites covered last week, that to me is a red flag. That to me means, like, we are sharpening our tools. There are a lot of kind of tricky lines out there. Like, Steelers -4 looks like a lock of all locks given how bad the Texans have been. Texans 0-2, must-win situation. I think that even the Titans, 3-point favorites on the road against Minnesota, that looks very tasty given how bad the Vikings have been. But the Vikings do need a win, so you got to be a little bit careful there. I think there just are some opportunities to just be careful with the favorites. That's my best advice. Be very, very careful with your favorites and understand that the reckoning is coming for the underdogs. And it might not be this week. It might be next week. But be very careful. Another dog I actually really like is the Washington football team as a 7-point favorite against Cleveland. I think that is a excellent bet. But we'll see as the weekend shapes out. Other gambling advice. Number two, don't bet a ton on baseball. Okay, baseball is in its final weekend. Understand who has things to play for. Understand who does not. Maybe you see an opportunity from like a gas can pitcher. But I don't know if you need to be wasting your budget on baseball. I think baseball had a place last Saturday and Sunday because there still were competitive games, a lot of stuff going on. There wasn't a ton of college football yet. But now that you have a lot of college football on Saturday, I just don't see an avenue for why you need to invest in baseball and kind of have that third sport if you're betting soccer. I myself am. And that has been fun, and I've been doing all right in it. But you never know. I mean, I've had an ugly week so far, so it would be very on par for me to struggle. But yeah, I think baseball, Friday, you can make the decision. There's a lot of games on Friday. There are multiple doubleheaders. I think there are something like probably in the 20s of games on Friday. That, to me, would be the day to either take advantage of it or fade back and just be done with baseball until the playoffs. See, it's kind of your call on that one. As for college football, remember that a lot of these SEC games, this is their first game playing. That to me, would be my biggest sort of watch out is, like, I know we're all excited about the SEC being back, but this is their first game back. Just be a little bit careful on that. Also, understand where the public is. Like, there is so much hype right now for Kentucky that I just don't get it. Like, I really, truly do not get it. Like, I know Kentucky is supposed to be pretty good, but man, oh man, that seems very fraudulent where Auburn comes out ahead and everyone's wondering why they lost their Auburn bet or their Kentucky bet that they had. Just kind of keep an eye on different little things like that. Also, too, the Miami conundrum continues, right? Miami is an 11.5 point favorite against their rivals, Florida State. It is a rivalry game. They've heard all the time that the U is back, that the U is here to stay, whatever. It's been exciting. Florida State looked like absolute garbage in their first game. But, man, 11.5 is a lot of points. That is a lot of points. There are some hefty-ass spreads, especially for those SEC games and some of the top teams where you have Georgia as a 28-point favorite. You have Alabama also, I think, at a 28-point favorite. There's a 30-point favorite from Texas A&M. Maybe in those type of situations, look at first half lines. I found that to be actually some really successful with some of those bigger spreads, is look at what the first half line is, see if you can get a good number on that, and ride with that instead of going with the full game. Because sometimes I think teams like let off the gas a little bit, and then it leads to a cover that you didn't expect. So that's what my advice would be for college football. I already gave you NFL advice. I gave you baseball advice. Would you bet on the Brewers this week? I don't know. They look like they are just, they're kind of in that do or die spot. I would just avoid that at all costs. And we'll obviously wrap that up on Monday's show, see where the Brewers are and where they are at by Monday. But I don't know if I have anything else for you. If you are going to bet soccer, I guess my only advice there would be just pick a couple leagues that you like. I think I mentioned that last time. It's really true because you could go crazy with soccer. And then you're like, where's my bankroll for football? And you just gotta manage that. And that's one of the tough things, man. It is one of the tough things. All right, that does it for our show today. We'll be back on Sunday night for Packers and Saints. As I've told you, for 2 weeks I was like, oh, I'll get you a podcast out at like 4 or 5 o'clock after the game's over, and then I don't do it. Now I'm forced to do it at 10 o'clock. So make sure that I have a lot of energy. Usually I do have a lot after a Packer game, a night game, especially if it's a close one, especially if there's a lot of reasons to be all ginned up. So hopefully I'll have that opportunity. All right, take care, Tappers. Have yourself a great Friday. And just a quick reminder, and I'm doing this right at the end, and I just sort of looked at the calendar, and last time around this period, I was asking my girlfriend's family for their hand in marriage, and then the following day got laid off and was unemployed for 5 months after this. And for those who are unemployed right now and still struggling, my thoughts are with you. I'm always here to help, and just continue to grind and continue to work and finding something, and don't take shame in finding something that might not be what you're doing right now. And the other part of it is it's night and day from where I was a year ago. And all I will tell you is just, you can make that happen. And I'm really happy. I'm really doing well. I had some tough moments and I shared on a podcast. I think you can go back in like January where I kind of like broke down on the show and was like, I'm not fucking okay. And I think it was a lot to do with the winter. I think it was a lot to do with just the fact that I was going on a trip to Europe. And I really put the pedal to the metal right before I left for Copenhagen and Ireland. And I'm forever grateful for it. So I just want to tell you, like, you can pull yourself out. If you're fucking struggling right now, you can pull yourself out of it. I definitely did. And I'm always here to talk. I mentioned that on the Aaron Rodgers mental health blog. But if you have no one to talk to and you're like, no one's going to listen to me, I'll always listen. Just DMs are open. Whatever way you want to do that. I just wanted to add that in. I don't know why. I just felt like it was something that meant something to me. And I appreciate you guys being my sounding board for the last year and much longer than that. All right, we'll be back on Sunday. Talk to you guys then. Bye.